welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. Real beers, real breweries, real opinions. Sponsored by This Week in Craft.beer. Sign up to the free weekly newsletter. Get all the craft beer news from your favourite breweries and that all-important new beers list as well. This Week in Craft.beer. And we're powered by Patreon. Head to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Show your support for the podcast and you can get access to exclusive content. patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. Make sure you head over to all our social media pages as always. Just search Beer Fridge Podcast, like, follow, and share. My name's Gavin Baxter. I've got Callum, I've got Miguel, and I've got Dixon. Hello.
Good evening. Tonight we are joined by Kayleigh from our favourite Overtone. How are you doing?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. This is one we have all been kind of looking forward to since Gav floated the idea that the possibility of Overtone joining the podcast was announced. Definitely one of our favourite breweries, obviously based in Glasgow, which is close to our hearts. So, yeah, looking forward to getting stuck into some of these beers.
Oh, yes, for sure.
So we usually start by kind of going around the table and saying kind of what we're drinking. So who wants to start? Gav, Mr.
Me.
Overtone.
Me. I'm going first because I'm buzzing for the night. I'm halfway through it. I've managed to keep a plur by the wayside. Not for this evening. I've kept it. It's a double IPA. It's 8%. And I'm just going back through our Instagram page to find out what I wrote about it, but I remember it because it was thick, it was juicy, it was, and I think I said on the podcast we did with IP Adventures, the wee mini series we did, I'm pretty sure I potentially said that this is my favourite deeper ever, and it bloody still is, and I fucking love the beer, and oh yes, oh yay, fucking win. Can we get more, Kayleigh, please? Please brew it again. It was it's absolutely phenomenal beer. Five hop combo, which was just phenomenal. Simcoe, Azaka, Galaxy, Citra, and Chinook. This is just tropical everything. Just tropicalness. It's thick. It's juicy. It's. I'm going to stop talking, Callum.
So I'm starting on. As the name suggests, this is Jam Used to Work, and it's the New England IPA, I believe inspired by you, Kayleigh.
Yes.
And when you sit and think about it, it's a comfortable, warm and cosy drink to have. It's a perfect starter beer for us, 6% New England, and it's got that classic hop combination, Citra Galaxy. There's nothing sort of left field and out there about it. It's everything you would expect from the perfect NEIPA, really fresh and juicy and a slight bitterness, but the overarching flavour is the sort of tropical notes. But above all, it's just such a comfortable place to start the night. It's just exactly what you would expect. When you open it, the first smell you get, the look of it, the taste of it, it's just absolutely perfect. And as the name suggests, it's just all about being comfortable where you are. You're getting exactly what you hope for when you pick up the can. So, yeah, absolute winner for me, definitely.
What was it?
Go for it, Gilroy.
Yeah, I'm on the same, so I'll just defer to Callum's comments. But as somebody who for pretty much a year exactly has been going to their bed in one set of jammies, getting up in the morning, showered, I'd like to say every day, that's a lie, showered and changes from nighttime pyjamas into daytime pyjamas and sits at my computer and works from home most days, this is the perfect one you want for when you kind of clock off at 5 or before if you can get away with it. It's super smooth, it disappears way too quick. Mm-hmm. I kind of got a fright there as I turned around and looked at the glass just as you asked me. how much has disappeared. It's really superb. It's really fresh. I just got it delivered today, so it's kind of as fresh as you can get it. It's
been in the can for superb. A week, so it's like perfect. It's just as fresh as you could possibly want it.
Yeah, it took me all my strength because the APC driver delivered it, and obviously it's been sitting in the van since about 20 past seven this morning, so it's absolutely frozen, and it took all my strength not to just open it. at half past two when it got delivered, it's absolutely superb. I think if I was going to have my name or have a beer inspired by me, I think I would pick this one. So, superb, Kayleigh, well
it's
done.
It's like that, you know, back in the day when we were allowed to go to pubs and, you know, you finish your work and you go for a beer, and it doesn't matter what the beer is, but that first pint is just, it takes all your strength not to just tip it back and drink the whole lot in one go. This is exactly what this is.
Yeah, it's the one you want in a schooner, just when you're going for just one quiet drink after work. That's the kind of beer that you want.
Yep.
Sounds awesome. Yeah, Marky boy.
Well, I've started with the Charlie Doesn't Surf, the 6.6% oat cream Nipah. I believe it was launched today or yesterday. It's basically, again, we're talking about freshness. I think that word's going to come up quite a bit during this podcast, yeah, to be honest. This is as kind of hot off the press, I suppose, as it comes. It's, like I say, a 6.6% creamy New England IPA. Calypso, Mosaic, Cashmere, and Idaho 7 hops. And it's thick, it's hazy. You can see the colour if I move the glass slightly. It is bitter. It's more west than east coast for me, which I'm not complaining about in the slightest, because that is, as the boys will know, that is where my palate lies in terms of beers. You're getting the citrus, you're getting the kind of, it's like a spiced apple kind of flavour that comes through it, but it kind of, it's held together with that, like the oats and the lactose, just to make it that kind of creamy bodied IPA that you're kind of looking for. It's really, really tasty. It is a wee bit more bitter than I would expect from a Nipah, but I'm not complaining about it at all, because it is, like I say, is kind of exactly what I want from a beer. So I'm just stating that, because if someone else tries it, they might say, oh, it's maybe more bitter than I would expect. But, you know, well, if you think it's too bitter, then you're wrong, I think, is the answer to that. And it's another wicked beer from Overtone, put it that way.
Hey. Sounds good. Kayleigh, finish us off. What are you drinking?
Oh, well, I'm actually the odd one out. I'm not even drinking Overtone. So I'm drinking the track Goldtop, because it just arrived today. It came out on Friday, and I know I'm impatient, so sorry. So it's the new double Goldtop, so Citra, Strata, Rapau, and that's their kind of ones with lactose. So it's all their Goldtops are just brilliant. So.
Research and development, that's all it is.
Exactly.
How about research? Super. Let's start off as we normally do, to find out more about Overtone. Where did it all kind of start, Kayleigh?
So it originally started with Boy. So he's from China, and he just always loved that kind of social aspect of drinking beers with your friends. So it's not about getting absolutely smashed. It's not about just drinking in the pubs for hours or that. It's about drinking nice beers and conversation, exactly like we're doing. So he always loved that, and he didn't really have that in China, but he went to uni here. So he just kind of decided, all right, let's come up with a brewery. And he had a brewer, so Dan, he's our head brewer, and he had another guy, and they just kind of came up with Overtone together. And it just kind of grew from there. So three and a half years old now. So it was originally actually going to be called GT Brew, to stand for Get Together Brew. But it doesn't have a best ring to it as Overtone does. So I'm glad we went with Overtone. But yeah, it's just mainly about getting together with your friends and having that discussion, talking about the beer, which I'm sure we all miss, but I'm glad we've all got Zoom that we're able to do that now. So exactly. I think one of the main reasons why we're constantly releasing beer, and it's just like constantly new ones, is obviously when other brewers, they release beer, it's kind of just like a big hype for this one beer, but we like to kind of make sure we're constantly releasing new beers, that every month you can place a big order, 10 different beers or so, and that's just your conversation all in that box.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're constantly wanting to just keep new beer, so we're keeping the conversation, and you know, you don't need to keep going and getting other brewers, it just, you can keep it together with us. So.
It's remarkable really when you look at the breweries, and you know, like you say, maybe a Wylamo release a brew, and there's hype because there's a new Wylam brew, or you know, some of these other breweries, but there just seems to be constant chatter about Overtone, and it's like a marketing genius. Like, there's constant chatter because you know you no beer ever gets old. If you've got an old Overtone, it's because you're stupid and you've kept it. You know, it's impossible to buy an old Overtone. It's just, you know, it goes so quickly, and it's, you know, it's, I think it's absolute genius.
Yeah, it definitely keeps me busy anyway, but I do the social media as well, so it's easy for me. You know, I'm not struggling to find things to say because it's just constantly releasing new beer. That it's just. No.
Is it at the stage where you could live stream the Canon line, I think, and that could be your social media content for a good week? Just what we're going to do is we're just going to live stream, and then the pictures. The other one that gets me is that's always really cool is the pictures of the labels. When you see the labels in the different colours, and you think, right, I've not seen that colour combination before. There's one we've maybe seen. There's one I've not. There's a that looks like a dark beer, and you're trying to read the labels and zoom in and things like that. It's really good.
Yeah, that's another challenge for me, trying to come up with them. But what's quite cool that we've also done, so obviously the Overtone brand logo, it's just kind of standard basic, but because every single beer has its own pattern, which is in that kind of circle design, so it's like every single beer has its own brand and identity, so that's kind of important for us as well. And, you know, we can just release an image of what that design is, and people instantly know, oh, that's that beer, it's coming out soon. So it's quite nice that every
standout in a bottle shop, that you go in a bottle shop and you see that circle with whatever pattern it is, and you go Overtone, and you just end up straight in the fridge, thank you very much. every time I live in the south coast of England, so anytime I see that little circle, that big 440ml can with that big circle, I'm like, just, I don't care what it is, it's going in my basket, because you know. And I'm pretty sure I can speak for all the guys here. Like, every time you get an Overtone, it's quality. You know what you're getting. And I think the thing is as well, you just don't realise, like, it only been around for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
It's just, like, for the beer to be so good, and it's such a high standard, for a brewery only to be born 3 years ago, you're like, usually it takes a couple of years for a brewery to make banging beers, but every single week, Monday, Tuesday, you look at Instagram, there's a new beer, absolute banger. Tuesday, absolute banger. And then you buy beers, and then, like me and Scott and the guys today, the delivery arrives, you look back in Instagram, and you go, fuck, there's a fucking new one I want. Bastard.
Sorry. Yes. It's a recipe for divorce, really.
Well, I. Tell me about it.
He's saying, must definitely keep you like on your toes, the releases and what's coming and where it's coming from and all the rest of it, and even just trying to like get stockists, get the beers on site, because you know they're going to go that fast, that it must be a quite a tough thing trying, you know, keep on top of.
Yeah, so I kind of manage more the web shop, and then James and Gran, they do the kind of trade sales. But I'm like fighting with them to try and get more stuff for the web shop, and then they're like, oh no, more to trade. So we're battling against each other.
That's a good problem we have.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, the boys are gonna have to start working the weekend just to get to meet demand. That's what it is.
Definitely. So what is that kind of a week in Overtone kind of look? Because obviously, like, you're bringing in new beers every week. Your guys are busy here and there trying to sell it and promote it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys initially come up with the idea for a new beer?
So, I guess Dan, he's our head brewer. He's just constantly, I mean, the evolution of the beers and the quality of beers, it's all down to him.
Yeah.
And he's constantly pushing himself. So he's actually from New England, so that he didn't actually learn how to brew New England styles there, but I don't know, it might be in the blood. That is just green beans.
I'm going to say that it might be a, it's an eight. The ability to brew haze just arrives.
Yeah, he's just constantly challenging himself, and he'll write on the board, oh, this is what I propose for the next batch of beers, and we'll kind of discuss it and say, right, well, we need to make sure there's a sour stout, because we try and think about what the whole pack of, if someone bought all these beers, want to make sure there's variety. There's a couple low ABV ones or some doubles or a triple now, sour stout, so it's a nice bundle. It's variety. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just constantly pushing ourselves, and Dan definitely does push himself. He was sending us hops tonight, like, has anyone had any beers with this? I've never heard of this hop before. Yeah.
And,
they start sending you ones that have got a code, they don't have a name yet, it's just a code. Exactly. You're like, right, okay, this is a new one, here we go.
And for new beers, does Dan like practice on a smaller kit, or does he just go full on with the big stuff?
No, he goes on with the big stuff. So he's very, obviously doing 10 new beers a month, like he's in lots of practice, but he's constantly wanting to improve them. So we released, obviously, Vicky's Pet Unicorn yesterday, which was a rebrew, and Big In today, which is a rebrew. Both of them, I've not tried Big In yet, actually, but they're both are apparently a lot better. So it's just constantly drinking them, saying, right, I can maybe make it better like this. So he's a great guy to have.
Oh, no, that's one thing I was thinking about is when you see Overtone, you come to expect what I would call a good level of ABV. Like, you would consider, like, there isn't many. I know you used to do a couple of like lower, like let's call them like pale ales sort of style in the 4% mark. But most of the time when you pick up a can, you're going to get a 6% beer upwards, you know, and most of the time it does sit in that 7 to 8, because it is like a IPA sort of NIPA, DIPA driven like brewery. Like for me, that I know you do other ones that you've mentioned, but they're the ones that really catch your eye, isn't it? It's like the ones that sort of hit the shelves now that you're thinking, right, I need the new Overtone NIPA, I need the new Overtone DIPA sort of thing. And is that something that you're conscious of, as like you've mentioned, you've got to have a bit of something for everybody?
Yeah, I think especially from the sales team, like, we know there needs to be variety, although Dan, like, obviously he specializes in making these New England IPAs, but we need to make sure we've got variety, because that's what everyone wants. Like, you can't just sit and drink 6% all night, because once you've hit drank six, you want to move up higher and then higher, and then you want to have a star, and then you want to finish tonight on a stout. So, and then you don't remember going to bed.
You want what? You want a Big In just to put you to sleep? Oh, definitely. Oh, it's so, the one thing that I've written down that I think is I like about Overtone, and I love it, and I want to see more of it, is obviously the kind of the Scottish slang and the Glaswegian slang on the cans, which I think is phenomenal. Which it just makes me giggle every single time. So you've had like Yaldi, No You Didn't, Whipman, Biggin, Ooft, Ouija, I-Man, just the list is endless. Are we going to see any more little Scottish slangs on the cans?
We do like to, but then sometimes we get a bit of backlash, like, and then when we try and throw in a little pun, we get a bit of backlash sometimes. So, I mean, people just need to love a pun.
The thing that really made me laugh about No You Didn't, there's a certain YouTube beer person who was reviewing No You Didn't and just completely from England and just completely butchered the name, and it just made me piss myself laughing. And so I came up, I've got three ideas for you. I've got three names ideas for you, and you can feel free to steal them.
All right, okay.
Feel free to steal them. So, but this is going to be a wheat beer. Right, okay. This is the wheat beer, so we're calling it Kenwit.
Kenwit?
Like, boys, from where the fuck, man?
No, I'm getting you. No,
that was good. No, I like that.
I'm just waiting when you say something like ball bag or something, like, you know what I mean?
Like, no. I've kept it good, I'll let you. Other one I've came up with, Hoyu. I'm thinking a kettle sour for Hoyu. No, okay, maybe not.
I'm not proper Glaswegian, so I don't...
The other one, the last one, is probably the worst one actually. Is Look Who It Is, Nay. Nipa. Look Who It Is, Nay.
Look
Who It Is, Nay.
You know what I mean? That's good. Still yeah. game. Nah.
Yeah, right. That'll do.
I worked hard on it all fucking day, you dicks.
Right. I'm just waiting for the 2 pints prick to come out.
We've not done a still game kind of reference one.
That's got to come out in a can. That's got to come out in a litre can.
Mm-hmm.
2 pints prick. It's going to be a litre.
No, could you not call it Fusilier?
Well, you could have Fusilier.
It's going to be some sort of copyright in there, like.
I don't know. Well, was it an actual beer? Wasn't it an actual beer, was it?
No, it was terrible.
No, it wasn't, but...
Over the still game's only reference to an actual beer was the to an actual beer in real life was the Tennent's can that was out of date right in the very first episode. It was a can of Tennent's that was about 12 years out of date. It still had the pin up on the can, and he took one drink out of it and spat it over the carpet. That's the only real drink they've ever had. Everything else has just been generic whiskey or generic beer. The only brand that got panned throughout the whole thing was Tennent's, which is fitting.
Yeah, it's just fitting. So the one thing I've noticed recently with the labels, they've ever so slightly changed. Ever so slightly. Is there a reason for that? No,
I don't. Well, I started in October, so I'm kind of started developing new kind of briefs and things. So we work with Thirst. Thirst are a Glaswegian-based design company, so they kind of specialise designing alcohol brand labels and things. So yeah, I've just been working more closely with them, and just more from a kind of marketing perspective on what Boy, the owner, what he kind of visualizes, and yeah, so hopefully people like them.
No, they look good.
They're so not changing for
them. No, the only thing, like obviously the logos and stuff have stayed the same. It's just the kind of what we classify as a wackaging is instead of going sideways, it's the right way up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's also just for export for Brexit. Bloody Brexit. So we had to add in all the languages just for, like, the ingredients and things. So
interesting.
That's why. And, we just kind of had to prioritise what content we put on there and what was important. So before, we never had, like, a description. So if you look at Pretty Vice, and, like, we didn't have what the beer was. So... Mm-hmm. Now we do.
Which is good. Callum likes as avid, well, not avid. Aye, avid. I'll go with avid. Enthusiastic homebrewers, Callum and Mark like to see right down to the nth degree everything that's in every beer they drink. Mm-hmm. So,
I love the hop. As long as it tells me what hops are in there, I love it. Because what I'm trying to do is trying to refine my palate as much as I can and to be able to pick out individual hops and, you know, what different hops bring to the table. And it's really hard when breweries just put, yeah, it's packed full of tropical hops, and you're like, well, thanks, you're not really giving me much help here. I'm not trying to steal your recipe, I'm trying to get better at, you know, tasting beer. But these are great. It's everything that you could possibly want.
Well, obviously Dan, the head brewer, he'd obviously be happy to kind of talk here, because it's also about, like, he always talks to me about this, and I'm like, it's about when you put the hops in and when you put the yeast in and biotransformation and all this stuff, because I'm like, use that hop combo, but he's like, yeah, but if you put them in at different stages, it'll bring you completely different flavors. And I'm like,
what is it called? Just tell me what it's called.
And I'll just write it down.
Sorry, they'll carry on.
Yeah, that's the thing that I find the most interesting, especially like Overtone doing, you know, similar like IPAs and stuff, and you have a look and it is the same hops, but they taste totally different. And I think it's the genius of Dan being able to make so many varieties of like similar style of beers, but make them taste so different, but using similar ingredients and things. And I think that is like it. Everybody that has brewed something at home, that's the fascinating bit. It's like you say, when do I put that in to get that to do this, and being able to get it to do this is pretty wicked.
And even just like the malt bill, like all these different malts, because I've definitely found it so fascinating learning, and just because back when I was doing the what malts and stuff were going in each one. I was like, oh, why would you put that in? And it's actually fascinating, like, what each different malt does to the flavour, because I just always thought, just put malts in and that gives it the colour, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Just whack it. That's crazy. I'm the same. I'm the same. I don't do any of the homebrew stuff. I just whack it in and it comes out the same.
This is just for colour.
Just that, does it? So, like, obviously, we mentioned, like, you mentioned that Overtone are continually bringing out new beers Monday, Tuesdays. Is there a possibility somewhere down the line that we look to potentially have a core range at some point where we just go, right, let's just make sure we've got this continuously all the time? And I know me and Scott have got one in mind that is one that we wish is always available.
Well, one we've kind of talked about is Ouija. Is that it?
That's the one. Bingo.
Yes, you're right.
So, I mean, once the bars open back up, I think that's one that we kind of definitely want. So you just want it on draft, like you want a pint of Ouija. So I think it is kind of on our long-term plan to make that one core beer, our first ever core beer. So it's just one that you want in the pub. So, yeah, hopefully. Sure. And then we do have kind of a few low ABV ones, but that's one that we definitely stand out, and hopefully we can grow some more. And yeah,
that would be the stick out for me. That's the kind of one that started it. I had that in my birthday a couple of years ago. I managed to get a can of it when I was in Glasgow, and it was absolutely superb. And I just remember thinking that kind of kicked it off for me, going and then hunting for the different cans, and then lockdown happened, and then ordering them online. And my favourite's gone to Beats and Leith, and they always have a pretty good selection of Overtone stuff. And you can tell when the other people, when you were allowed more than two people in a shop at a time, you could tell the people that were looking at Overtone stuff because they tilted their head to the side like a dog when they're looking at, when you shout at them about something. They're like, that's that, another, reading the side of the can.
That's another reason why, like, quite a few shops kind of got back to us and said, a lot of our customers are just walking out with a sore neck. That's another like that, reason why.
Everybody's in the shop like that, turning the can around so they can read the label. What kind is it? And they're, you see them going down through the shit, especially the Beats and Leith, the way they set things up, as I've got stouts in different places. And that was the first place I bought an Overtone stout or a dark beer. I was looking in the dark beer section for stuff, and I'm like, that must be Overtone. And then you're like, right, okay, what's that? And that kind of leads me up. My question was, you were mentioning you're trying to kind of expand it. The one style, if you like, that I've seen the New England and IPA and double side of things has always been strong for me for Overtone, ever since like Ouija all the way through. There's always knocked out of the park everyone. It didn't matter what one you picked. The stout side of things though has grown. So I got stouts earlier last year and the year before when they first came out, and I was kind of thinking, right, okay, there's other stouts that I would have before this if I was to drink it again, but I'll always get whatever the IPA is or the New England. And I think the stouts have kind of went from strength to strength. Like you say, the benefit of being able to brew them as regularly as you do means that there's been a few that just incredible ones. Like I've got I got another four or five for Christmas, and I've managed to keep one just because it was stout and it was dark beer, and I figured it would age a wee bit better, so I'd keep it back. Yeah. Normally you didn't get one that lasts any more than 2 weeks, but it was a long and heavy Christmas, so I've kept one. But the stouts, I think, have really improved, and I think you can tell the effort that's went into making sure that it's the brewery that people talk about, not necessarily the beers. And I think that's what the quantity of beer that you guys produce that always is of a high level means, that it's Overtone people talk about, Troubles or the other the Verdant stuff or Gold Top or whatever it is. It's not the beer. And the tracking them are breweries that are obviously known for the brewery as well. But up here, I think you've got certain beers that you tag to certain breweries. So for Fierce, it might be Cafe Racer. And you think, as long as I get Cafe Racer, then I'm okay. Whereas Overtone, it could literally be anything. It wouldn't matter. As long as it had as long as it was Overtone beer, you could pick it up and know that it's going to be of a certain level of quality. It doesn't matter whether it's the newest one or whether it's last week's. It doesn't matter. It's going to be it's all going to be of a level, which is exactly what you want as a brewery. It's your brand that then carries you, not necessarily the content.
Yeah, I've never thought about it like that. So that's a nice way to put it.
I'll snip that and I'll send you it and you can keep that. Keep that. So, but no, but Gil, you're spot on. Like, I'm the same every time. Like I've mentioned before, every time I see an Overtone, I don't care what's in the can necessarily, because I'm going to just pick it up because I know it's going to be good. And
in a bottle shop like that, you're talking about fine margins between you buying one beer over another. Mm-hmm. So if you're seeing that in a crowd and you see you've got the experience that people have had, and I don't think we are unique in our assessment of Overtone's brewing and how it stands up. So your odds on that's getting in the basket, isn't it?
Oh, aye.
You know what I mean? In comparison to all the others,
don't even look at the price. Don't even look at the writing. You just go Overtone, right, bang.
The same with the majority. Like, if you didn't even really, Mark was mentioning the higher percentage stuff, and it tends to be of a level. You don't have to look at it and think, Christ, is this table beer? Because chances are it's no. You need to be paying attention, and it wouldn't matter whether it was, but you know fine well you're thinking, right, okay, this is going to be 6, 7, 8, or if I'm lucky, 10 or 11. And it just goes. You don't even.
But it's like the last order I got from Overtone, and I literally just went to the Overtone website and basket. Yep. And literally, I picked up Laura Laughs. Didn't even know what it was, and like obviously thinking all of it, already assuming it's like a high-ish ABV or whatever. Got it, realized it was a lower one. I was like, oh, this is actually bloody good. Like I just literally just go, yep. Don't even care. It's always going to be good. Callum, you've opened a new beverage.
I have, and the word that springs to mind is dangerous. Because this is so good and so easy to drink that at 8% this could have you on your arse off a quick. And it's I'm so glad that I went from jammies at work to this. It's the Oofed, and it's the New England double IPA. So it's like I've moved from Jammies at Work to Jammies at Work's Big Brother, and similar hops. So the previous was Citra and Galaxy, and this is like a Citra sort of showcase. It's got the three varieties in it. I've had to quickly Google what an incognito hop is. So this is this has got Leaf, Pellet, and Incognito hop, and it's like a turbocharged sort of hop extract.
It's there,
like
pure. But it's still there.
The best way I like to describe it is like when you think of Robinson's squash and you've got like the double concentrate.
Aye.
That's what I like to compare Incognito to.
Yeah. So this is like the wee Robinson's squash bottle that's like super thick syrup that you just squeeze a tiny wee bit into your cup. This is what this is. But it's like I say, it's like the New England's Big Brother. It's proper beer. Really, you're getting all the same sort of tropical flavors that we like to sort of wax lyrical about. But it's really comfortable to drink. It's super smooth, super easy drinking, and sessionable at 8%. I like, and that's why I've said that it's sort of dangerous, and there is no way that this beer is 8%. That must be a misprint on the label, because it is fantastically easy to drink, and I'm going to struggle to keep this in the glass for more than a few minutes.
it's like genuinely like a beer. You drink it and the literally the first word out your mouth is oof. You're like off. Holy shit.
It's a word that I don't really use, but then I remember when I first tried it, I was oofed. It's a word that just comes out of everyone's mouth. You know?
It makes perfect sense for that beer. It's awesome. Delp, you're the same. Have you poured in the vessel?
Indeed. I can't wait. I've never tried Oofed, and I've got a can sitting for my last one. So I'm really looking forward to it now. So this is, the guys are going to jump on me quite quickly about this, but so this is the Pretty Wise. So the sour cherry, boysenberry, red currant, Berliner Weisser, and yeah, this is, so I'm going to start back like I would normally do here by saying I don't really like sour beers. So yeah, I'm just going to start there. This is this kicks you right in the teeth, is the way I'm describing it, because on the nose, you're getting that sort of, it's like a malty sweetness. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to pinpoint what it is, if it's the red currants or the boysenberries maybe, but it's like, it's really mellow. And then as soon as it touches your lips, it just goes bang. And you get this like cherry punch in the face. You get the kind of the sweet, the maltiness coming through on it. It's actually really, really pleasant to drink. And at 7%, it's like you were talking about diluting juice. It is basically like cherry and red currant, like sour diluting juice. I would well definitely struggle to get through a 440 of this thing for sure.
Aye, but that's because you just don't like sour type beer.
However, like I've always said, a good sour or like a Berliner Weiss for this thing is a perfect palate cleanser when you're jumping between bitter and like New England IPAs and all the rest of it. So it's going to work pretty perfectly for me. And if I'm waxing lyrical about the flavour of this thing being a non-sour drinker, then everyone that loves a sour and that particular style is going to go bonkers for this, to be honest with you, because it is pretty badass.
I've just poured myself one. I do see what you mean by palate cleanser as well.
It is so...
It's just like a kind of raspberry sorbet.
That's you might it. Have to get one out.
It's the smell, though. Like, the smell, it's like a... Like you say, it's like the syrup that you would get from,
the blackcurrant that you get if you get a blackcurrant soda at a pub or something.
That's it.
That kind of blackcurrant cordial.
That is it. And it's just, as I'm saying, when I smelled it, I was thinking, all right, this is quite, like, it smells really mellow. It's really fruity. You're getting that. As soon as it touches your lips, it just goes.
Looks a fantastic colour as well.
That looks awesome.
It's pretty badass. You guys would.
I've got a can, I just didn't refrigerate it. No, I'm sad.
I'm going to have to go and grab one. I was about to open my booth and then I'm like, now you've said that, I'm like, I'm grabbing my one. Because I'm literally just finishing a jammies to work and Callum Scott agree fully. Lovely beer. Lovely, lovely beer. A perfect beer just after your work. It's nice. It's got a nice, lovely taste. It is a jammies to work type of beer. It's just comfortable.
See I'm right in saying this is the second time I've seen Oft.
Yeah, so
I think it's improved for sure. It's better. I didn't think it could get better, but it is better.
Yeah. I think it's the third time we've
I've definitely heard it twice in this iteration. You can tell there's a level of kind of refinement there. It's the flavour's just punchy a bit better.
Was definitely one that kind of got us out there. I mean, it got in a lot of people's hands and it definitely helped us grow. So that was our first big double IPA and it's just always been a great one. It was the first time they worked, the only time they've worked at Incognito.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're drinking, Gil?
Yeah, yeah. I'm having an Oft and then I'm stouting for there.
It's so fresh. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a beer this fresh. I mean, I don't... The guys will tell you I'm not, you know, able to get to a lot of bottle shops. I don't tend to order that much beer online and stuff. So it's quite a privilege to get a beer that is just as fresh as this. I mean, it's not even been in the can a week. It's a revelation. It really is.
I asked, and just talking about that, like, where, like, for Overtone as a whole, where do you kind of see yourself, like, against, the best of Britain? Put it that way, you know, if that's the best way we're looking at it. When you're talking about, because we had a, but I'm just, I'll start with this, but we had a, kind of mini series that we'd done a few weeks back with a couple of some of the bigger beer bloggers in and around the UK, and one of the topics that we discussed was the DEPA, and Overtone came up from mainly our side because obviously it's Scottish based, but we were saying like your DEPAs, your NEPAs, we would probably put them up against, you know, the big boys within the UK. Now that's coming from us, so, but yeah. I want to kind of flip that on. Like, where do you see yourself in the market with, you know, the best of the best within the UK?
It was quite scary because quite a few of our beers got in the kind of top nines top nines of 2020 beers last year. So, I mean, obviously that's our goal, and we just never expected to get there so fast. But yeah, it's where we want to be, but we want to be working with these guys and kind of start a revolution with them. But yeah, we just never expected to be getting there so far. So, I mean, we're starting to kind of grow friends, definitely, in that kind of in the industry and speaking to them. So if it wasn't for COVID, it would be nice to kind of travel about and visit their bars. And yeah, we'd...
So you do.
We're like fans and fanboys when we have a conversation with them. Because like Northern Monk included Plur and Suave in their beer box last month, and we're like, oh my god. So yeah, it's so exciting, and because we all know the industry and we all buy beer still from these other people, and
yeah,
it's exciting.
I think
that's kind of attitude is really commendable, because as people like us that are out here tasting the beer, I mean, the beers that you guys are producing are more than a match for, like, say, Northern Monk and all the rest of it, you know. So to have that sort of starstruck feeling is just shows how humble you guys are and you know how much you're enjoying making beer. I mean, that's the overwhelming feeling that I get, is just that you guys are just having fun and making great beer. But from a consumer point of view, there's no reason for you guys to feel as though, you know, you shouldn't be in the same conversations as North and Northern Monk and Wylam and all of these beers. You know, fuck it. I mean, you guys are making some phenomenal beers as well. So
that was part of the reason why I wanted to, like, ask, because I think having done a bit of research before, knowing that, you know, the brewery's only been going for, you know, 3 years, and there's no core range. You do this, like you say, it's a bit of like sort of flavor of the month, here's what we're going with, and this is what we're going to blow folks' socks off with this month, and then we'll next month we'll do something different, and you know, we'll create this. It's not even, you call it like a hype train, I suppose. We spoke about that about a couple of beers this year, but it isn't even a hype train, is it? It's just Overtone. It is just how you do things. It's just
do you see that model sort of lasting in the long term? You know, so these breweries that we've been speaking about have that sort of core range, and they have those beers that they go back to time and again, and that people develop a taste for and a following for and stuff. And we've spoken about you guys on the flip side, where it's not about, you know, making sure that the same beer's getting delivered all the time. It's constantly talking, constantly engaging conversation about, you know, the brewery as a whole. Do you see that model carrying you through for the long term, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to think so, because I think that kind of makes us a bit more unique and just kind of always getting spoken about it. And I mean, well, we like that because it's every single day, despite if the brewers are just doing the same brew routine every day, it's like it's a different thing. Different beer every day. It's constantly learning new things, so it's exciting for the whole team, and that's kind of what you need just to keep you motivated. It's routine is just gets a bit boring, so by doing what we're doing, like, we're all just kind of fighting for more, and it's so much fun. Like, I'm so happy to be working there.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I think as well, like, it saves you from becoming pigeonholed. And as soon as you start relying on a particular beer or a particular brew, it kind of, you would feel as though that would limit you. You limit your opportunities to express yourself and to try new things. Whereas if you're a brewery that's known for changing things, changing it up all the time and always delivering fresh new ideas, then the sky's the limit. You know, you're not tied down by you know, oh, we need to meet this demand for this particular beer because that's the one beer that we need to brew all the time. So,
well, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to throw a wee spanner in, I suppose, there. But when the pub's open, we want to be able to get a pinty Overtone or a two-thirds Overtone in a pub. And you tend to go to a pub because they serve a specific beer on draft or a specific maybe brewery on draft for that matter. So when pubs
Kayleigh's got to sort us out with Ouija on draft at every pub in Glasgow. Yeah. She's just going to deliver. There's going to be an Overtone van that just delivers. It on tap wherever you go. You could be in the counting house, it doesn't matter. Wherever you end up. I'm joking.
Instead of seeking out that pinty Ouija, you're going to be seeking out that pinty Overtone. And it doesn't matter what the beer is, you know, if you go to a pub and know that they pour Overtone, you know you're going to get a fucking great beer. Doesn't matter what it is.
You're gone. Doesn't matter what it is. Aye.
I'm just playing devil's advocate in that sense.
Aye.
It's
not like you, to be awkward.
So last year, before all this happened, we were starting to kind of confirm some permanent time lines in quite a few bars in Edinburgh and Glasgow and try to get them throughout Scotland. And then throughout COVID, we've also had some kind of confirmed for England area as well. So that's definitely part of our long-term strategy, just keep trying to secure those permanent lines. And as long as they're happy to know that we're going to deliver a good beer, then hopefully they'll understand that that's what we're doing. It's not just going to be like, right, this is the one beer that we need. So
part of the issue you'll have and when you're shipping the beer out of Glasgow basically is that, and we spoke to Sean Roberts at Guilo about this, it's the bar staff's education on the beer too, you know, being able to, so if you're starting to sell the pint in Newcastle or in Eastbourne so that Gav can get a pint,
I'll be the only person that knows about it.
I used to live in Eastbourne. I hate to admit that.
Shut
the fuck up.
There's a conversation for after.
There we go. That's an absolute. There's no way we would have put those two together.
Twilight Zone moment right there.
but it's education, you know, so that your beer's doing a. You're getting the full service, and you would get that in Glasgow. You'd probably get that in Edinburgh because people know the brand. But when you go further afield, it's ensuring it's not just, oh well, here's the new Overtone. Oh, what is it? Oh well, it's the pretty visor. All right, what is it? It's a Berliner. And that's maybe
you just say here's the new Overtone. What is it? Drink the fucking thing.
Drink it,
and then tell me. Then talk to me and then come back and I'll have your second one poured for you when you come up, okay?
That's true.
Cheerio.
Yeah, no, that's a really nice point. And it's something that obviously, you know, I've worked in like hospitality and the sales side for quite a while as well. So you want those people to be the ones that are upselling and making sure they're representing your brand at the end of the day, but don't even work for you. So
you've got to make sure it's the right people. You've got to give it to the right people, you know, and you guys will be making sure that the people you build relationships with that are in Glasgow, that are the people in Glasgow, you'll know already. You'll know who it is that's going to have the right environment to sell the beer to the point whereby they could talk about it. You're going to, like you say, we've seen it throughout as the craft beer community is just that. And if you're giving it to people who know, you're going to give it to people who know what they're talking about, and they'll only have to have a third date as soon as they put the line on to figure out what the script is with it. It's not, while the flavours and stuff can be, there's something different in every beer that you have for Overtone. I don't think to say that the beer was inaccessible, I think would be untrue. I think it is it is pretty accessible. You have to, some of the ABV, you have to take a bit of a leap on. And you'll get the people that will come into the bar and go, Christ almighty, that's 8%, right? Okay. And but then you say, right, okay, we'll just taste it first or have a third or whatever and have it in the right volume and then sit and have a and savour it. Don't neck it. which is the same conversation you have with everybody that doesn't necessarily drink craft beer that ends up in a craft beer bar. You know what I mean? Like it's the tenants, the tenants drinker comes in and says, can I get a pint of something at 12%? You just laugh them out the shop, you know? It's you're going to give it to the right people, I guess, is what I'm kind of going a long road for a shortcut and saying. Yeah. You're going to give it to the right people who have the right audience who are going to appreciate it and who are going to be able to talk about it because they know beer. And it's going to get to the right people. So that's what you've got to be careful of. So you don't end up with some Egypt that doesn't clean the lines properly ending up with your beer. And you've got to be pretty good with that.
Do you find that since the start of lockdown, the kind of maybe the consumer base is wider than you maybe initially thought? Just kind of contained to like Glasgow and Scotland.
Since the start of lockdown, so Overton, I wasn't working for Overton at this point, but Overton were very much just more Glasgow and a little bit of Edinburgh based.
Mm-hmm.
But since they went online and they started a shop, then a little bit more people started ordering from them, and then they released Ooft, and then they released Biggin, and Instagram is just kind of got it, like it's just grown the business huge. So the consumer base, I mean, we've got people that like, because I kind of see all the statistics on the website, and it's people from all over Europe that are on our website now, and it's grown hugely since lockdown. But it's all, I think it's all thanks to Instagram, just all these people that love beer like you guys just posting on Instagram. And
that must be quite mad for you guys. Like you said, like a brew that's only like 3 years old and you're getting people like looking at the website and on the continent and stuff and going, I want some of that. That sounds awesome. And like
you said, disappointing people saying, sorry, we can't ship there.
No, you can't have it. It's just for us.
Where is the furthest afield, if you can remember that, is the furthest afield place you've had somebody inquire about? Can you send me Overton?
Oh, well, we do actually export to like kind of wholesale companies to Australia, so we do get Australians kind of coming on our website Overton and trying to get some. And
that's unbelievable.
I think from like what you've said about like how it started, the premise of the company as in sociable drinking, like social drinking good beer, it kind of ticks, like that's pretty much the reason we started this podcast. It was basically to socially drink together, considering we all lived all over the place. And I think we're just going to have to adopt Overton as like the I was going to say a sponsor, but maybe not, just the ambassadors of our podcast moving forward, because I think that exactly sums us up.
Well, I'm happy with that, because Overton's literally my favourite brewery right now. I'm fine with that.
It's going to take a bit to knock Overton off.
My bank balance says yes.
When's the tap room open?
Yes.
Well, we are hoping that this year, obviously, it will just be the brewery, but depending on what COVID allows, then we'd really like to kind of invite people into the brewery. It's not like a tap room at all, but we'll see what we can do. But it's just nice because we've grown so many fans, and the reason, like, obviously it's about getting together and socializing, but a big part of that was also we want our customers to be involved and in many steps and be involved and just feel a part of the brewery, like kind of you guys are saying you feel you do. So yeah, it'd just be so nice to get people out to the brewery and just have them kind of drinking what's in the tanks and just kind of seeing our life.
to drink a fresh beer at a tank in Overton. Thank you very much. Dreams come
true. Dangerous.
Where do we sign up? We're in.
Right, gentlemen, need to get your
pen. I can smell a live podcast there to the brewery at Overton.
1,000,000%. Yes, yes, yes. Right, gentlemen, we need to get our pens and pencils at the ready here. What, Kayleigh, tell us what we've got to look forward to from Overton.
Okay, so every month we do kind of like a batch of labels and a batch of beers, but they always, some need a bit more to condition. So in this batch, we've still got Opaque Dankness coming out next week. So that's a rebrew. And we have, so Chancer, which is, if you liked Oofed, so this is basically the Mosaic side of it. So instead of being Citra, this is Mosaic Incognito, and Mosaic just hops. So it's a double IPA focused on Mosaic hops. And then we've got Stratosphere, which is a double IPA with Strata hops. So that's this batch of labels. But then the next batch, we have some really exciting ones. So we've got a vanilla latte stout. We have...
Even as a non-stout drinker, I went, oh.
We've got a sour that's got marshmallows in it. So it's kind of like an Eton Rife, an Eton Mess Imperial Sour.
Wow.
So I think that's at 8%.
That's a dessert.
And 8%. Yeah. And we're also going to we're going to see the launch of, we've never done just kind of like single hop double IPA. So we're going to start a kind of a series of them.
No, Denny.
Gavin skint already.
What's the hop though?
We've got two coming out next month / April, so it'll be Vic Secret and a Nelson.
That's a holy grail. Absolute Nelson is winner. Nelson's Mark's friend.
I should have worn my t-shirt for you. We've got a podcast branded t-shirt with my mate Nelson on it that we rock for.
We've also got our first experimentation with cryo hops.
Super.
So that's like the powdery stuff that's left over, so it's like super high. That's actually going to be a triple.
Different class.
I'm really excited about this name. I came up with this name. It's Explosions in the Cry.
Oh.
Nice.
Like that one.
And we've also got our first double oat cream IPA. So if you've liked Mosaic, Charlie Doesn't Surf, Lotus, this is a kind of a reality. This is another one that's just kind of
another oat cream one.
I'm trying to save for a mortgage, FYI. What's happening?
Sack it.
You know what you should do? You should ask the Overtone just so you could buy a wee bit. Your mortgage could be like right outside the house. At least
literally no happening. with that you've just mentioned, that list right there, I'm like, yep.
Well, if you buy a pub and then you just rebrand it as
Overtone, just buy a pub. Gavin's done the pub thing.
We house upstairs. Done.
That's an absolute genius idea.
Hey, get onto something there. But no, they sound absolutely amazing. Like, I don't know what one I'm more excited about. Like, I've always liked, for some weird reason, when a brewery does a single hop series, I always absolutely love it. Mm. And I always like, and we mention it all the time, we like to always make sure we get every single one of them. It's that Pokemon effect almost. You need to catch them all. And always love single hop stuff, and just like trying to taste the difference between the two of them and figure out what what you've done in the brewing process. Not that I've done any brewing, but the boys have, and I can chat them up and make sure see what they say. But I love single hop stuff, so that right away just sings to me.
As soon as you said single hop, you would have seen me.
I'm excited as well.
Watch the video back. I'm like, say that word, say amazing.
Say Nelson. But no, it sounds absolutely incredible. Oh, goodness. Literally, it's the same every single month. Overtone, take my money.
What you should do, and this is just a total, like, here's my, like, account manager head coming in. You should do, like, what Premier Hops and that do, and do the save a box.
Yeah.
So we could.
So you start it.
We all sign. Start one off. We all sign up. You start a box, and yep, I want a can of that. I want a can of this, and you might not. And you've got to take the risk of it, that it might not be as fresh if you do wait longer to pick the stuff up. That's the risk that you take, but it means that you could build a box of whatever it is. And then at the end of the month, when you've got a wee bit of cash lying again, you can then buy and you're not going to miss the...
Could you imagine getting an Overton box every month?
I know, we started a Facebook group because obviously the way we want to kind of be more involved with our customers. And a lot of people are wanting some kind of monthly subscription or like Premier Hop do.
It's more just because of how fresh your beers are and how many releases you do. Like, people love your beer so much. It's that thing that... So it's me in particular. I love the beer so much that when they arrive and I get delivery and I look at Instagram and then something else comes out, I'm disappointed. I'm like, shit, I should have waited one day or 2 days. I'm like, no. And it's like, oh, but if they did a big subscription box every month, I can get the freshest beer possible. I wouldn't even bother if it was 2 weeks old, but I'd at least get every single one.
The longest the beer, if you've done it every month, the longest the beer would be in the box would be like a month. Like at the end of the day, yeah, it's not whatever's released at the end of the month is going to be as fresh as humanly possible. But anyway, that's just
I know, but that, you can imagine what it's like for you guys' perspective. I mean, you brew a beer. It can't be sitting in the can on the floor very long before it's away. Whether it's away to whatever bottle shop it is or it's on the web store, like you say, you're having that bun fight at the moment. It's not like you're having to allocate a lot of space to storage, I would imagine, unless it's for aging and conditioning and stuff. It can't be to keep things in the can sitting on the floor for very long, because through what we gather from having seen it and see it sold out, having looked at the website a couple of days ago and some of the things that had only been out 2 or 3 weeks, that's fucking away. You're like, all right, okay. It can't be sitting there very long, and that must be a good problem to have as well, no having stuff sitting.
Yeah, I mean, beers used to be kind of available for a good month or so, but because we've grown so many new accounts and just like, especially in England, like, grown so much down in England, we've got so many customers down there that we didn't expect to be selling out of beer. And then we were getting places in like Singapore messaging us, oh, can you sell beer to us, like wholesale and stuff, and we're like, oh my god, I've not got enough beer for this. Because we're so focused on just brewing new beer that we're like, I've not got enough beer. So yeah, next month we're starting to do double batches of beer, so there's going to be more beer available on the ones that we know are going to be highly popular. So yeah,
wow.
I think we're gonna have to
premises.
Thanks.
Bigger premises are required.
My last kind of niche Scottish comedy style reference is going to be, by the way, what a reason to get on. We've now created a reason other than Lemmy to get on the bus to Yoker.
Yeah.
Haven't we? We've created, like, where Overton are based, we've created, like, Overton have created a reason to get the bus to Yoker. You're not going to have to go with Didi anywhere to get the bus to Yoker.
I realise, like, so what I drive in every day, there's actually a cafe called Didi's Cafe, right? Corner. I was like, oh, that's no coincidence, is it?
No, not at all. That's you're getting them a van to do the first kind of tap room at the brewery. It's going to be Didi's Cafe doing the rolls in the early afternoon.
Oh no.
Unbelievable, nice. Man. What a reason to get the bus to Yoker.
Unfortunately, probably our English audience won't get that reference, but you're north of the border.
If you're struggling for something today in lockdown, if you've completed Netflix, go and have a look at Lemmy's show. go and have a look at Lemmy's show. Educate yourselves before you come up to Yoker, because it's an experience.
It definitely is. Any other questions for Kayleigh, gents?
I wasn't, not for Kayleigh, but I was just going to touch on Oft because I've opened it, and I have to agree with what Callum said that there is no way that this is an 8% beer. It is.
I'm sad. I'm finished. I've finished mine. I'm sad.
I've tasted. This tastes like a standard. Like, I'm not saying a standard. That's not the right word. But like, it's like a 4.5% pale ale. But it's just so creamy, and it just coats your tongue perfectly. But it's just got no, like, alcohol. Like it doesn't. Like, there's no burn. There's nothing that you would expect from something that maybe a bit 8%. It's just
That's a perfect point, Mark. Like we've spoken a couple of times over the last few episodes about the sort of hype that Putty had when it came out, this rebrew, and we kind of jumped on it, and Scott managed to get a hold of a few, and as a consequence, I managed to get a couple because I'm so disorganised. I never buy shit. I just wait till Scott gets it, and then I'll get it off him. And I had my can of Putty last weekend, I think it was, and for an 8%, it was so alcoholic. It just tasted so. There was just such a hit of alcohol, and I just don't like it. I don't like it when a beer's like that. But this is just—it's so light and mellow, and it just shows you what you can achieve on an 8% beer. You know,
I might for our one for the road, I might open Putty and do a wee comparison and see what comes.
No comparison, mate.
No, I don't. Yeah. To be honest with you, mate.
I quickly give a shout out to the Super Good Stouts. Just because I've opened Dusty Miller that I got at Christmas time. So the 11% vanilla Imperial Stout.
Is this the one you kept?
This is the one I kept because it's vanilla. And I've opened it. It's absolutely superb. It's got cacao nibs, marshmallows, vanilla, a hit of lactose in there. The malt bill's incredible. Maris Otter, chocolate wheat, chocolate malt, carafa and biscuit as well. Magnum hops in there to give it a wee bit of something. It is like an ice cream sundae in a can, as the old school Sidon Wackagen would suggest. It's 11%.
Kind of Wackagen.
Correct. somebody shouted on me. It's superb. It's one of the ones you've got to turn it side on to have a look at. And it's incredible. It's absolutely superb. It's a testament to kind of where, as I say, the growth when it comes to stouts is definitely.
Is it worth petitioning for a rebrew?
I would say so. This and the opaque dankness as those kind of things, and then more along the stout side of the street, I would definitely go for, especially if I can start. Thanks to the Facebook group building a box up, I would definitely throw a couple of stouts in there alongside whatever else is coming up, because the stouts are going to be just as strong. The sours as well, for the Berliner Weiss is anything to go by, and the stout that's coming, the sour that's coming up.
Berliner Weiss, I'm still drinking. Fabulous. Love it. Absolutely fantastic. Kayleigh, where is the best place people can get hold of Overtone beers?
The Overtone website. but I mean, there's so quite a lot of places now that are just a lot of just kind of local bottle shops are just there. It's just growing the list every day, so we're getting a couple new customers every week, and I didn't know there are so many bottle shops in the UK, I'm not gonna lie.
You and me both, but definitely search the first place I would definitely go 100% is go to overtonebrewing.com. Go straight to the source, get it as fresh as you can possibly get it, and show your support for this amazing brewery who are making absolute bangers every single week.
I was going to say, you can't even call them like want to watch anymore, because I think they're basically like, I was saying that, like, you're at the top. You know,
see, it makes me laugh when I've seen a couple of videos and stuff on YouTube and a couple of podcasts from people in the industry, and they're like, oh, keep an eye on Overtone. I'm like, what are you talking about, keep an eye on them? They're just making absolutely amazing beers already. Why have you not been watching them before? Where the fuck have you been?
You're late, mate. You're late.
You've missed all the good stuff. Sorry. Get yourself over to overtonebrewing.com. If you can't do that, have a look for a good local bottle shop. I'm pretty sure if they're good, they'll have some Overtone on their shelves. Gentlemen,
it's not there, ask for it.
If it's not there, ask for it, definitely, because it will sell.
Exactly, because if they're not selling it, they're not a good bottle shop. So
bingo. Gentlemen, anything else you want to add?
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. And thank you for again sending a couple of the beers through. Much later, appreciated.
Kayleigh, anything you want to add at all?
Nothing, just thanks for kind of getting us on here and thanks for your support. Thank you
for making stunning beers.
Thank Dan.
I was going to say, the next time we'll get you on, we'll get Dan involved and then we can pick his wizardry brain about how he's making the beers. And then
Callum can get your secret recipes.
There we go. Exactly.
There we go. Like I said, head over to overtonebrewing.com, grab yourself some of the beers. As always, the Beer Fridge podcast is sponsored by This Week in Craft.beer. This Week in Craft.beer sent to the weekly newsletter, get the new beers list, and all the latest news from your favourite craft beers and breweries, including Overtone. I'm also powered by Patreon. Head to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Show your support for the podcast and become a Patreon member. I have thoroughly enjoyed this evening, more because it's my favourite brewery and cannot wait to see more Overtone stuff on the shelves and reducing my bank balance to absolutely fuck all. Gentlemen, until next time, absolute pleasure. Cheerio, bye.
Didn't move.